The message we have is a story backwards, and it literally there's a in Matthew 14. It talks about Jesus and some of the things he did with his disciples, and we're going to give you this story, but I'm going to kind of do it almost verse by verse backwards, because sometimes it's like we always want the good stuff first. And we don't really want the stuff in between, because we just want to get to the end of the story. I don't know how many people that are on Zoom with us here today that are the people that, as soon as they get a book, they always read the last chapter first, or they always go through and figure out who's going to be there at the end, so that it helps you, you know, not to get too worried about, is that person going to make it through, or, you know, chapter 6, or is it going to be all the way through? But the idea is we're going to be just looking at some scripture verses, and then at the end we're going to culminate it and go back through the correct way and just see how that parallels with some events, either like in history or even with ourselves, because I think there's an awful lot within this message, and it's at least with the verses we've got, and it's really about the disciples going out in the water, and Jesus comes walking out in the water. Of course, Peter wants to walk on the water as well. And so that's the story that we're going to be looking at. So let's just begin with prayer. Father, as we go through your word, please lay it upon our hearts, the things that we need to learn from you. You are the gifter of understanding of scripture. And we just pray that you do that for us here today, that you teach us what we need to be taught. And that as we go through your word, that there's more to it than just a story. But what there is to it is life that you can bring into a message, and that life becomes real to us too, because we experience it as well. Help us and guide us, Lord. Let the Holy Spirit touch our hearts and open it up to be able to receive you. This we pray through your Son, Jesus. Amen. So the story backwards is this. We're going to get the last verse first, and it's in Matthew 14:33. And this is it. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." And I'm thinking, isn't this like what we want in for all the people that to come to know the Lord? And it's not even just that. It's that it's like all of the people that were in the boat, and here we're talking about all the disciples, and Jesus wasn't there at this time, and they worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." And in essence, there seems to be no doubt in their mind who they are. And we also look at, you know, what does it take to be able to get an individual to get to this point where we can say from the depths of our heart, from the fullness of our minds, and from the way we live and how we conduct our lives, to actually say that truly Jesus is the Son of God. And if we believe, you know, as the disciples were at this time here, it's just astounding that you're put into trance isn't the right word, but it comes to me as that, because you're put into a mindset, and you're put into a realm, if I can say that, so that what's happening is that you've gotten to a point where Jesus to you is God, and not just a friend, not just a good person, not just someone that could, you know, prophesy or to change the hearts of people, but he truly is God. And we look at this aspect over here, and it's like, isn't this exactly what we want people to do when they come to church, to be able to experience this sense of feeling here? And so this is like, I don't say the end of the story, it's not, well, in a way it is, but that particular event, it's the end of the story, and look what came out of it. Everyone had no doubt in terms of who Jesus was. And so we're going to go back one verse, and you're going to come over here to Matthew 14:32. And it says here that, and when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Now, if we didn't know anything about the story, what we can say, though, is that they're coming to a place where it's safe. They're coming to something that, in this case, a boat which would keep everybody within the water. And we don't know, again, if you didn't know the story at all, it'd be about the coming into the boat. So you can imagine people crawling in, you know, grabbing the side of the boat, and maybe people inside the boat hauling individuals in. And we don't know the whole aspect of that, just from this particular scripture verse here, going backwards. But it does say two things, because that boat is a place of safety. And not only that, as they climbed into the boat, they're being removed from the storm or whatever it was that was going on, because it talks about the wind dying down. And we can assume that the individuals coming into the boat had been going through a tough event in their lives. And for something we don't know, you know, they could have, another boat could have been capsized, and this other boat comes in and they grab those people, take them to safety. Or, you know, it could be that, you know, for some reason that they were in near the shore even, and for something, you know, the tide currents were taking them out and they couldn't get back to shore. We don't know the story just from this verse alone. I'm going to keep saying that because we're looking at each verse kind of separately. But the point is, in this particular verse, is that there is safety that has come. And when they actually were able to get into the boat, that seems like when the rest of the storm quit and was ended. Now, there's times where we have gone through storms, and it seems like all of a sudden there's that point in, there's a turning point in the event that you're going through that you just know that things are going to be okay. But I'm sure there's a time prior to that turning point where you did not know where it was going to be going and what was going to happen. But in this case here, there is a good part of the event that you're going through, because it is coming down to a point where you can have peace and safety where you are. So we're going to go back another verse. In Matthew 14:31, it says, immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he says, why did you doubt? Now, again, not knowing that story at all, we're going through this backwards story, and obviously someone needs saving. We don't, from this verse alone, we don't know who that is. It could be anyone there. But look at the aspect of what Jesus is there. And he's helping this individual, which we really know as Peter, he's catching him. And in this verse, we don't know why he's doing that, but what we can say for sure is that Jesus reaches out his hand, right, and he caught him. Caught him from what? Well, we'll see in a little bit, but Jesus can catch us from anything. We put ourselves into areas where we have little faith, where areas where we have doubt, and areas where we don't see Jesus as God, or we don't see the Spirit of God in amongst us, and we tend to rely on things other than God, or we tend to focus on something other than God. And it seems to put us into a pretty tight situation where, you know, the only way that we can be rescued is through the hand of Jesus coming to us. Now, we know, if we look at this, that when Jesus reaches out his hand and he caught him, what hand do you think was coming to reach him? That was the hand of Peter at this time. And because we know the story, but has Jesus reached out his hand to you when you were in an area of little faith and doubt. And the question is, did you grab onto his hand? Or do you, like sometimes we do with some of our friends, you know, they want to help us out, we just push them away. We give them a little backhand off to their hand and say, no, I don't need that hand or anything. But I want you to know that we've got this whole aspect where Jesus is reaching out his hand. And he does. We know that he saves him from whatever the event was. Let's go back another verse. In verses 29 and 30, there's this, come, he said. And Peter got down out of the boat and walked on the water and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sing and cried out, Lord, save me. So now we get this particular verse here. We're starting to see a little bit more of what the picture was where Jesus reached down to save him. And it begins with Jesus telling Peter to come out of the boat and walk on the water as I am walking on the water. Now, the point I want to make in these two verses here is that God calls us to get out of the boat at times. God calls us to get out of our comfort zone at times. God calls us to give sometimes when we think we probably shouldn't be giving. God calls us to give a word to someone when we're embarrassed to do that sort of thing. And just like Peter, there's times we'll go out and we'll do that very thing. But as soon as we do that, we're more concerned, not just about doing God's work, but we're concerned about the response that we're going to get from that. We're concerned about, in this case here, is Peter seeing the wind and the rain and the thunder that was probably coming down, the waves that were crashing over. And what we do is we're worried about, well, what are they going to think about me? What are they going to say when I come to them with a scripture verse? Or what are they going to say when I tell them that, yeah, I understand you're going through a tough time, but I went through a tough time too, and you know what got me through? Was my relationship with God. And what are they going to say? What are they going to think of me when I'm putting what they would think religion into this whole event here? Because I could care less about religion. All I want to do is get fixed right now. Or maybe you're going through something and it's like, all I want to do is get over this cold. I want to get over this sickness. I want to get over this debt. I want to get over this bad relationship. And I don't want Jesus into it, but what I'm looking to do is I just want to get through this. Well, it was God that called you out. And it's God saying, that you need to just stay focused on me, because that's the only way you're going to be able to get through something. But God will call you out of the boat. God will call you to do something for his kingdom. Question is, are you prepared to do that? And I think a lot of people do want to do something for God. But when it starts to become work, all of a sudden we're like, oh, I don't know if I want to do this. All of a sudden when things in our lives are not what they used to be, I don't know if I want to continue that either. And then we start to take our focus off of things. And this whole section is like, God has called Peter to come out. And he did walk on the water for a short period of time. And then he needed the hand of God to be able to save him. Let's go back another verse and see what's going on here. So in Matthew 14:28, look at this. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. How many times have we been in prayer with God? Lord, just show me what you want me to do. Just reveal it. Make it clear so that I don't have any qualms about who you are and what you, you know, are able to do with us. Then I'm going to mute you again. There we go. And as we are in this aspect over here where we're kind of reaching out to God, not knowing what he's going to actually say, in this case here, we know from the previous verse here, is that Peter is asking to walk out on the water just as he's walking on water. And what we would normally say, like, well, okay, well, God won't let me do that because obviously that's too big of a thing. But all of a sudden God says, come. But when we pray to God, are we actually expecting him to answer? Or are we actually expecting an answer that we have already preformed in our heads? Or is your heart and mind opened up to the part that when you call out to God, are you prepared for his answer? The answer that comes directly from God. Are you willing to listen to that? You know, even, you know, in essence, kind of like challenge God. So, Lord, if it's you, and this is kind of funny because these guys have been with Jesus for like a long time now. I wouldn't say a couple of years or whatever during this time here in Matthew, because Matthew goes on for quite a few chapters yet, but it's not like a timeline where it's all evenly divided up between the three and a half years of ministry that Jesus was doing. But the point is, it doesn't even seem like they're recognizing who Jesus is. It's like they don't know who he is. Now, that's really different than the very first verse we looked at, which was the last verse of this story. Lord, if it's you, what do you mean if it's you? He's right there. Why would he come up and say that, if it is you? Well, there's some question in terms of who Jesus is in their minds. Let's go back a verse, one more verse here. In verse 27. It says here, but Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. Why would they be afraid? Haven't they not seen who Jesus is? And it's like, obviously, it's like Jesus is talking to these individuals and telling them who he is. That just the name of saying, I am Jesus, should be enough to give you confidence that we should not be afraid. He says, take courage. It is I. The I am of all of Scripture. The question is, are we afraid of Jesus? Because we don't know who he is. We don't identify with all of who God is. And are we afraid of the things that maybe we don't want to know about God? Because it's going to affect us. Is there something in who Jesus is? Because we like to see him, you know, in a picture, and a good-looking guy who has, you know, nice strength and walking around in, you know, the typical clothing that you would have with good sandals and, you know, his hair all dressed up. And is that the Jesus that we think we're supposed to have? Or could he be the Jesus who comes to us with the, you know, the glowing, fiery eyes, with a tongue that's made of a sharp sword, and that, you know, and his gown is soaked in blood on the bottom parts of it, like it talks about in Revelation. Are we willing to accept that as Jesus and not be afraid? Maybe when we start to see Jesus for who he really is, and not just some preconceived idea of who God is, because God makes me feel good, so he's a good feel-good God, but yet it's a God that challenges me too. But I think Jesus, when we do call out to him, right, he will allow us to be able to see him for who he is. Let's go back a verse. In verses 25 and 26, it says, "During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. 'It's a ghost,' they said, and cried out in fear." Now, this is the fourth watch, which it really basically what the Jews did back during that time is during the night time, they would break it into four watches. The fourth watch would be somewheres like from 4 o'clock maybe in the morning to like 6 o'clock in the morning, or 3 o'clock in the morning to 6 o'clock in the morning. Basically breaking up the night into four sections, because the night was a long time. And so if they had someone on watch, they would only be for a short period of the night. And, you know, the first watch, second watch, third watch, and fourth watch would take you through the whole night time. So this is at the before dawn is coming, but it's during that fourth watch. You see this here where Jesus is walking on the lake. Have you ever noticed this? Jesus doing a miraculous thing that you would never expect. And then when you see him, you don't even see Jesus for who he is, but you see it from your mind's eye, and you see him as a ghost, as a spirit. And look at, and they said, and they cried out in fear. I mean, these are, I gotta tell you, these are tough men. Most of them are sailors, fishermen, and they've been in rough waters before. And I'm sure that they have seen storms come across. They've seen lightning bolts hit the water. They've seen lightning go across the water. They probably have seen balls of lightning. They've seen, you know, cloud storms coming in. And I'm sure that they've, in tough times, they've experienced some really hard things too while they're out there. And the point is that their mind goes to a point where they don't understand something, they think the worst. A ghost, an evil spirit. It's Satan that has come over and it's taken over the world. And we look at that and our mindset goes back to some of those really horror movies that we may have seen, or you know, portions of them, or things that have, you know, dreams that we've had, the nightmare dreams. And we think the worst. When yet, in this case here, they saw him walking, which is Jesus, and that is really the best thing that could be coming towards them at this time, because they're out on this walk, or this expedition of being able to travel in a boat through the lake here. Let's go back another verse, in verses 23 and 24, and he says here, after he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside, and this is Jesus, by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Now, we look at this verse here, and it says that after he had dismissed them, which means he was not with them in the boat, so they had gone out, Jesus went up to pray. Now, we don't all know exactly how Jesus prays, because it's God who he is, and he's just talking to the Father. And I would love to be in those conversations with God, with Jesus and God the Father and the Holy Spirit all there together and just see how things go. But he went up on the mountainside. And it talks about when evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance, which means that the boat has already been traveled out, and by the time he walked up on this mountainside, he could see the boat, and he could see all the men rowing, and he could see that they were struggling, because it says here, because buffeted by the waves, because the wind was against it. So they're making progress, the boat is, and Jesus is up on this mountainside watching them struggle. Have you ever been in a situation where you think God is not around and God has no idea what I'm going through? But in this verse here, we can see that his disciples are struggling. They're working really hard to get where Jesus had told them to go, and they're not making it. But Jesus is in a distance, and he's just watching. How many times have we been in that mode where it's like, come on, God, you can act now? Because God always says, you know, I act suddenly. Well, it's not, it isn't, doesn't seem like suddenly, but once he does act, then it becomes sudden because a lot happens all at once. And if we look at this whole aspect, is that these guys are out there. Now, the next verse that we're going to be looking at is verse 22. This is important because it really ties in with the very last verse, which would be our verse that we had. In Matthew 14, 22, it says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. Okay, so look at this. Jesus made the disciples get into the boat. Now, the disciples had no idea what was going to happen to them. No idea that the waters were going to turn rough, that the wind was going to start bouncing into them. Didn't know that they were going to see Jesus walking towards the boat. They didn't know that Peter would ask Jesus to be able to walk on the water, and Peter didn't know that he was going to be sinking and needed Christ to save him. They didn't know that Jesus was going to be walking into that boat, and as the two of them got into the boat, that everything was going to be calm. Jesus made the disciples get into the boat. And I want this to be important, because God will place you at some place not knowing, you not knowing what is going to happen. God knows. And he'll watch. And he'll come. He'll save. And he'll give you a place of rest. But we need to be faithful to him. We need to have courage. We need to not be afraid. We need to recognize who God is. And again, I'm going to say this one more time. Jesus made the disciples get into that boat and experience what they experienced. Because when we go to looking at the whole event, the last verse is really what becomes important. All right, I've got this little slip here. We're going to look at each verse from the beginning, from verse 22 all the way to the end, 33. And we're going to look at that and see how each verse might correspond to something, event that happened in history, and maybe also an event that happens to us as believers, right? So the first one is, if I can get this to work right here. So the disciples were made to go into the boat. Well, let's look at this one here. Adam and Eve were made to get out of the Garden of Eden. They were kicked out. We are made to go into the world and what God wants us to do. We can also look at the next verse. See, they rowed against the wind. Well, in history, we have this. People created lives and cultures that were without God. They went through struggles and they found the best way that they can live, the best living conditions they can get to adhere, you know, for the, you know, their surroundings to gather food and shelter and water and stuff like that. And in our own lives, we go through, we weather storms by ourselves. Many times, God, I've got this one. I can handle it. I'm good. It's no different than the disciples rowing against the wind. And then Jesus was seen as a ghost, right? He was coming across the water. Well, in history, we can look at Jesus was seen as was being blasphemous from the Jews. But something that's an ungodly thing. Sometimes we just resist knowing God in our own life. We go to the next verse. And Jesus was revealed to them, right? He said, "Hey, take a heart. This is Jesus here, right?" Well, Jesus revealed himself to the Jews as well. That when he came as the Christ, the Messiah, he revealed who he was, the Son of God. And Jesus is revealed to us as well. He shows himself as he is, whether it's to the disciples, or the Jews, or to ourselves. He is the same no matter what. Well, Peter walks on water, right? We understand the miracles that was happening there. And then we get to a point where the Gentiles spread the gospel. It's kind of the same thing. It's a miraculous thing to be able to spread the word of God and have people come to accept that, because they're focusing on Jesus as Peter focused on Jesus to walk on the water. Well, in our own lives, we can look at it in the sense that we ourselves experience Jesus, and we have testimonies. Testimonies are just experiences that you have that you get to share how God has been working in your life, right? That's an amazing thing. In a way, it's a miracle to know that the very experience that you have with God is a miracle. And it's something that can be shared, just as Peter walked in front of his other buddies, the other disciples who was walking on the water. The Gentiles spread the gospel in areas that were like impossible to be able to reach. And yet, guess what? People became believers. We experience the very miracle ourselves, and in our testimonies that can be shared. And then Peter sinks. Right? We know he took his eyes off Christ. He was the wind, the waters, and stuff. Look what the Gentiles, and even the Jews, right? They'll use the gospel to promote their own agenda instead of doing the will of God. I mean, there's a whole bunch of church history that we don't even need to get into and how bad that was. Because we're no longer looking at God, but we're trying to do stuff on our own. We're trying to come up with our own purposes, our own reasons for we're able to do things. And in our own lives, maybe we don't use the gospel so much to promote agenda, but sometimes we doubt. We doubt that our experience really is just is still can sustain us, for whatever reasons. We, even though we have experiences with God, sometimes we doubt that God can continue that in our lives. We know that God did this for me, and it's like, oh, we're so thankful for it, but why do we doubt that he can't do other things for us? Even though that Jesus has revealed himself to us, we've had experiences with him, sometimes in our lives we still doubt. And then look at this. Jesus saves Peter, puts his hand right out there and grabs him. And we can understand that. Jesus physically took him out of the water. He was sinking. In history, let's look at what happens here. Salvation comes for those who believe. Jesus died on the cross for anyone that would come to believe in him. Jesus saves spiritually, and he saves our bodies, he saves our soul, he saves who we are as a person that God has created. Right, and that's an ongoing thing. And then in our lives, Jesus personally saved us. It's not that we get to read about in a book that Jesus saved somebody. No, Jesus saved us. Even when we seem to have doubt. Yeah, that's an awesome God to be able to do that. We can look at this one here. They entered the boat and the water stilled. right? Look at this one here. It's the people have a church, a place where they can worship, a place where they can come to know God more and to see his calming effect. Church should be a safe place for people to come to know God and to have fellowship with one another. And it should be a place of peace. It should be a place where anybody coming in can sense the goodness of God and his spirit. Well, look at us and our personal lives. That God is in us, not just amongst us, but he is in us. We have his heart. He's inside of us, guiding us in all that we do, protecting us even from ourselves, giving us a closeness to him no matter where we are. And remember that church isn't the building. The church is the people. We get to be that individual that makes up the church. And then the last one here is that disciples worshiped God, which was the first verse that we looked at, the culminating thing that was the whole point of this story. There's going to come a time where all nations will worship God. And then for us, we get to worship God now. We get to recognize who he is and be thankful for the things that he's done and sit in awe of all that he has done. Think how powerful that is. Now, this story can synchronize with the history of the Israelite nation coming to the Gentiles and even to where we are here today. But it can also relate to our very personal lives and how we live. Now, why don't we just go to the end part, the very last scripture verse of this, in scripture verse 33, where it talks about the disciples worshiped God. Why can't we just go to that spot and then just forget everything else before that? Because isn't that what we want? Isn't that what we kind of long for? Yeah. Well, look at this. Jesus immediately made the disciples get into the boat. The end result was them worshiping him and saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." But you know, those disciples would not have gotten there had God not pushed them, demanded that they get into the boat and start rowing and experiencing all those things that they've done. Which means that the whole story in the Bible that we have from the beginning of Genesis to the ending of Revelation, all of that is important in the growth of our relationship with God. Not only as an individual, but as a group of people. To be in a place where the very sinfulness, and then there's the salvation as a worldly believers. And then in our own personal life, we get thrown out into the world. Why? Because God pushes us, makes us get out there. And we have struggles. We have doubt. Yet in amongst that, we experience Jesus in a very beautiful way. And we come out of that personally, worshiping him and saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." But had we had not experienced that sickness, cancer that we've been talking about, struggles with relationships, struggles with financial things, struggles with spiritual blockage of being able to do what God wants us to do. All of those experiences bring us to a point that when we keep our eyes on God, that we can truly worship who he is. So sometimes I ask even myself, I says, is this really a bad thing that I'm supposed to be going through? Is this struggle just to remind me how bad I am? Or is it a struggle that God has allowed me to go through so that I can come out being closer to Him. Because in the end, isn't that what we're supposed to have? Isn't that the true meaning of what walking with God is all about? I don't know. I kind of think it is. So it's not about, God, why am I going through this? Maybe it's about, God, what is it that you want me to get out of this so that I can be closer to you? If it's a long-term, short-term event, whatever, it doesn't matter. What matters is the end, that you come out worshiping and recognizing who God is. Amen?